Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at zonepouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Craig, have you got the COVID vaccine yet?
Have I got the COVID vaccine? No, I haven't. Why?
Okay. Well, I know they were making it, or they're about to make it, available to our country's elderly. I wasn't sure if...
Hannah, you're doing the rest of the show solo.
I wasn't
Could
sure
you
if you...
please clip that and send that to me? Kyle doesn't have jokes often, but when he does.
No, that was a good one.
That was kind of serious. I mean, God.
This is NASCAR Coast to Coast, presented by Whelan, also brought to you by Hercules Tires. Now, with the latest NASCAR local, regional, touring, and international racing news and views, here are Hannah Newhouse and Kyle Rickey.
Welcome to NASCAR Coast to Coast here on the Motor Racing Network. I'm Hannah Newhouse, joined as always by my co-host, Kyle Rickey. Checkered flag has finally flown on the 2020 season, Kyle. The season finale here for NASCAR Coast to Coast. We wrapped up the ARCA Menards Series West this past weekend at Phoenix. Can you believe we are finally here? We talked about video games. We did iRacing coverage at some point, grasped for any racing action possible. But we're here. We did it. We've crowned champions. We've survived 2020.
Everybody made it to Phoenix, and all the series were able to get most of their races in. I know some of the ARCA schedules were shuffled, and I think maybe even shortened. But the East and the West had already been shortened as part of the merger with the ARCA and falling under the ARCA banner for this season. So I don't know if we lost any races at all when you look at the big picture. The Modifieds lost a couple up here in the Northeast because of the restrictions here in Connecticut with Thompson and Stafford, but they still get a pretty healthy schedule in, and we buttoned it up last weekend with the Arizona Lottery 100 for the NASCAR, the ARCA Menards West Series with the veteran putting a whoop into the kids in the field. Nice to see David Gilliland at 44 years old back in victory lane, outraced his son and all of his teenage friends there, finishing up in the top five with Ty Gibbs, Taylor Gray, Todd, and Drew Dollar.
Well, my favorite thing about that, too, is his presser post-race. He's talking to the media, and he's actually wearing Todd's race suit. Said that he didn't have one of his own at the current moment that was SFI rated and fit him. So he had to borrow Todd's suit to come race out at Phoenix. But super cool to see that. You know, we always know that David likes going from car owner and dad at times to being able to get back behind the wheel. But a pretty good points battle shaped up at the tail end of the season for the ARCA Menards West Series as well. Jesse Love capturing that title. It was one that I wasn't sure we were ever going to get to, because Gracie Trotter at one point had the wins. She was close and comes home in third in the points, and a good battle between the top two. But I never really thought we were going to get to this point, because the West Series kept getting pushed. We weren't allowed to race in California for a while. And then they weren't allowed to race in Washington for a minute. And finally, they go to Phoenix. They have a great race, and Jesse Love captures that that title.
And a fairly anticlimactic title run or title season finale, because Blaine Perkins, who was his closest championship contender, I believe 14 points going into the event, had mechanical issues. I believe an engine expired on that car early in the event, and he finished 25th. And Jesse knew that, so he took care of his equipment and finished 14th, his worst finish of the season, finishing out of the top 10 only once, and it was on Saturday afternoon at the Phoenix Raceway. A great field. How about Keith Rocco with a top 10? The NASCAR modified star from up here in New England, in the SK Modifieds at Stafford, this year's track champion, an 18-time Division I champion, making a fender start out on the big track of Phoenix and getting in the top 10 for Venturini Motorsports. So kudos to Keith, and hopefully we'll see more of him in those cars in the future.
Yeah, always cool to see our regional touring drivers go and play in the different fields, whether it's some of our ARC Menard Series drivers up in the Pinty Series. We had a NASCAR Euro driver this last weekend come and play on the side of the Phoenix as well in the ARC Menard Series. So I always love when we get to intermix our series like that. It definitely catches you by surprise, though, when you look at the rundown and you see Keith Rocco with Ty Gibbs and Taylor Gray and those names amongst
Justin Lofton. It's like, where did Justin Lofton come from? I haven't talked about Justin Lofton since 2014. And here he is back on the racetrack, and he finished sixth. So it was, like you said, a mixed bag, and I love those type of fields.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And something that's funny, not necessarily coast-to-coast related, but how COVID was able to bring some people out of retirement that I don't think we thought we were going to see. Trevor Bayne, James Buescher came back. And I actually talked with Tony Stewart over the weekend as well in a different interview. And he was supposed to run the road courses, didn't get the chance to do it this year, probably will do it this next year. But these opportunities that have now come together for, you know, the schedule, essentially. So we don't have schedules yet for the ARCA Menard Series for next year. Again, those usually, I like to say, come out in December, but I think we usually see them around January is when they finally come out. But we're going to dial up Jesse Love here, your 2020 ARCA Menard Series West champion, and talk about that championship in this past weekend's run.
Whelan designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and high-powered warning systems for automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Every part of every Whelan product is proudly designed and manufactured in America and is tested on site to meet the toughest industry certifications on the road, in the air, and around the world. Whelan is trusted to be seen, trusted to be heard, trusted to perform.
Sir, are you aware you were going 40 miles an hour? This is a residential area.
Sure, but I'm on my lawnmower. Wait, am I getting a ticket?
No, I've just never seen anyone top 9 miles an hour on one of those bad boys. And mow their entire lawn in 30 seconds? What got into you?
Well, it did fuel up at Sunoco this morning.
At Sunoco, we know how to fuel peak performance. We've been doing it for American racing for over 50 years. Fuel your best.
Citywide to countryside. Whatever you drive, wherever you go, Hercules Tires has the value, selection, and industry-leading warranty to get you there, no matter where the road takes you. Go to HerculesTire.com. There you can find the nearest authorized Hercules retail location to you. Plus, you can use the tire tracker to find out which Hercules tire fits your vehicle the best. That's HerculesTire.com. Hercules Tires. Ride on our strength.
Back to NASCAR Coast to Coast, brought to you by Whelan and by Hercules Tires. Here are Hannah Newhouse and Kyle Rickey.
This past weekend, we talked about at the ARCA Menards West Series, wrapped up their 2020 campaign. And the rookie to the series, Jesse Love, captured that title, joins us now here on NASCAR Coast to Coast. First off, Jesse, congratulations, and has it set in yet that you now hold a NASCAR championship title in the ARCA Menards West Series?
Yeah, I mean, I knew that the day that I won the race or won the championship, like, it hadn't set in yet, and I still don't think it has, but or maybe it just hasn't really changed a whole lot about how I think and go about things. I just want to get next year rolling as quick as I can and get prepared as that get prepared for that. So I feel like that's what I'm focused on more, is just, you know, making sure whatever I do next year, I win at, and I feel like that's kind of, you know, occupying my mind rather than, you know, celebrating and stuff like that.
Not only are you a champion, but you are the youngest at 15 years old, 19 months, 24 days. When I was 15 years old and 9 months, I was running like big wheels. I was not even in a car yet. I was afraid to drive on the highway. You don't have your license yet, do you? Can you get it early out there on the West Coast?
No, you got to be 16, yeah.
That's crazy to me. And how old were you? I mean, we're talking about you at this age winning a championship. How old were you the first time you drove a full-blown stock car on a racetrack?
As far as stock cars go, I was, I think, 11 or 12, I think, tested for the first time. Yeah, I think I was 11 years old. Yeah, pretty crazy.
You took part in the junior late model program, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's wild. I mean, you're giving, you know, 11 and 12 year olds opportunities to get behind the wheel of full-blown stock cars. Hey, Kyle Ricci actually does not know how to drive a manual. He actually cannot drive stick. So maybe we'll have to get Jesse over the offseason to teach you, Kyle, who's 40 something years old, how to drive stick. This 15 year old can do it, but you can't.
I just, you know, that wasn't a part of driver's ed, you know, 30 years ago. So
I'm learning that right now. That's definitely true.
See, there you go. Let's talk about the race on Saturday. You knew what you had to do. You had a bit of a cushion going in. Blaine has his mechanical issues, yet you still finished, you know, deeper in the field than I think some expected. Was there an issue with the car, or were you just taking care of your equipment?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you know, throughout the whole, you know, weekend, right, in practice, you know, we didn't make as many runs as we could have. You know, say there was 100 lap or 120 laps that you can put on a part before it breaks and or something like that. You know, you don't, you only want to run 100, and, you know, if you run 119, then you're fine, right? But if you just, so it's just wear and tear and managing that and just, you know, taking all the precautions and being safe, you know, not cutting the dog leg a whole lot, and just, you know, keeping the car safe and sound. And throughout the whole race, like, if there was a hole, I would drive up to it, or if there was a hole behind me, I'd drive up, you know, behind that, so I could, you know, get in the hole and just, you know, give myself a big gap and a big buffer, so I wouldn't have to, you know, get in any dog fights or anything like that, or get in any mess with anybody else. That was kind of the biggest thing, and I think we did that really well. Way that we had a brake problem where I lost brakes halfway through when the 9 car was still in the race, so that was kind of, you know, nerve wracking. So, you know, we were still able to run in front of him, which was good, but, you know, that was kind of, you know, a pretty big deal. And we had to make sure that we didn't do anything bad on any, or dumb on any restarts. And, but my spotter did a great job. My crew chief did a great job. And, we kind of adjusted the car to, help us out before the halfway break. So, that was good. And I think that, we did, you know, we did well at that. And I think, everything kind of fell in line right to, even if we had a bad day, that we could still kind of, you know, bounce back from it. And that was really important to, you know, have a game plan before the race where, you know, you're not going to do anything dumb or anything like that. You just got to be smart and mature about it. And, you know, I feel like we've all worked too hard, you know, this year to let it go because we're, you know, trying too hard at the last race of the season. So if it was, like, if we were just going the whole time and we, you know, got into pile up or anything like that, we worked too hard for that to happen. So I just had to manage that.
And I believe we talked to you at the beginning of the season about what your guys' goals were going into this, again, a shorter season than we usually see in the ARC Menards West Series. And when we talked, you said it was going to be about learning these cars, maybe get a win or so under your belt. At what point in the season, though, did you realize that you had a shot at this championship and your goal shifted to now winning a championship and not so much the learning aspect of these cars?
Yeah, I mean, after New Smyrna, we didn't run the best at New Smyrna, so that was kind of, you know, worrisome, but we changed our whole package with the car, and we came with the same car, but we came with a completely different package on it, and we changed a lot of things around to kind of fit how I drive a car and what the race pace needs to be. Obviously, it slows down a bunch in ARCA cars, so with the tires and all that stuff, they're a lot of fun to drive, but you know, when they fall off and when the brakes kind of start to get more pedal with those, you can't really drive, you know, it really hard, so you kind of got to balance that the best you can. And I feel like I said it a few times, like, you know, I knew I was gonna win the championship, but, you know, before the first race of the season, you know, I knew it would be pretty difficult, right? You got to put a lot of effort into it, a lot of work into it. But I knew that, you know, if you work hard enough at something and you put yourself in a situation with the right people, like we did this year at BMR, that you can achieve that goal. So we just had to work really hard and do the best that we could and, you know, manage everything that we could to make the most out of all the situations. There were a few times this year where we had some things, you know, really go wrong. And even at, you know, a place like All American where, you know, we had a spark plug wire fall off, and then at Kern when we had, you know, no brakes, we were still able to run really well. So that was important. You know, All American was one of those deals where the 9 car was pretty good, and that could have been catastrophic with the motor problem that we had there. And you know, the fact that it didn't happen because we were able to bide our time and eventually run fourth somehow, that was, you know, definitely, looking back on, a championship run by the whole team. And that was a really important night. So Could have been a really bad night that we made to turn into something that wasn't too catastrophic.
That's how you win championships in NASCAR and in ARCA, is you got to make the best of the bad nights. And that's what helped you get to where you are today. That's an important night. How important was the first win in getting that under your belt at Utah Motorsports Campus, and just maybe that little extra added confidence that goes along with a first-time winner?
Yeah, that was an important weekend for sure. You know, every race I feel like was – every race win this year was special in its own different way in a sense. And Utah was one of those deals where I put a lot of effort and a lot of work. And you know, but prior to the race, I put a lot of track time and stuff like that into the racetrack. Built my notebook really big about that place and put a lot of effort into it. I knew it was going to be that track. So I knew that Sonoma or – mainly Utah when Sonoma got canceled, but Utah and Irwindale and I think in Phoenix, like the bigger track, tracks would be my hardest tracks to win at. So I knew that if I could do the best there, then everything else would be, you know, pretty smooth sailing. I know I'm really good at Kern and I'm really good at All-American. So I just had to, you know, manage that because obviously I'm not like a road course ringer like somebody like Will Rogers is or Blaine kind of growing up in go-kart. So, that was good to win there and, you know, do it the right way, you know, not overdrive the thing at all and, you know, just be smart about it. That was pretty big for me and my confidence going forward too, as, you know, I start to do more road course stuff. So that's a big deal. That was a really big deal for me. Not just points wise and race wise, but going forward and overall, just the whole weekend shaped out really well. And we were able to knock that one out of the way, which gave me more confidence going into the rest of the year for sure.
Now, working with Bill McAnally Racing, one of the powerhouses in the ARCA Menards series, really anymore, his team really focuses on the developmental aspect of bringing these drivers in, usually coming up through the ranks, some coming from dirt, and then teamed up with Toyota, who obviously has a lot of fingers in developmental drivers as well. What was it like working with Bill McAnally Racing and Toyota this year from a developmental point away from being actually behind the race car, whether that's media training? I know things were different this year with COVID, not being able to do a lot of in-person stuff, but what was it like working with Bill and the Toyota team?
Yeah, that was really cool. And, you know, the BMR team has a really good ring to it. And, you know, driving for that team has a lot of prestige, I guess is a better way to put it. And, you know, I was really looking forward to it and seeing how the operation ran and Bill did a great job all year. And, had a lot of fun, you know, working with the team and working with everybody at BMR was super cool.
Talked about your age a moment ago, just 15 years old, and I feel that every state, every county here in Connecticut, as far as schooling is concerned, is different. What is schooling like for you out on the West Coast right now? And, you know, how different is it from town to town and district to district? And I know it changes often.
Yeah, that's one of those things where it's really important to balance the school and balance everything. And things are so different from state to state that it just keeps going back to, you know, how hard are you going to work when you can't put in the work. So, you know, I just had to work really hard throughout the whole season and use all my resources as well with the whole pandemic and everything like that. I just had to, you know, put my best foot forward and use all the resources that I could to give myself the most confidence too going into each weekend.
And looking forward into next season, we're now approaching, or we're into the off season officially. I didn't know if we were ever going to get here, but you'd mentioned a moment ago about, you know, haven't gotten the chance to celebrate this championship yet because you're focused on next season and what that's going to be for you. Do you have any idea of where maybe you'll land next season? We always talk about Sam Mayer being so young, spending his time in the ARCA Menards series. You're one of those drivers now categorized that. You've got a championship under your belt, but not a lot of places to move as far as moving up goes in NASCAR's ranks here. Do you have any plans that you can share yet or anything you're working on next year?
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, the only thing I can say is, you know, what I'm doing for the rest of the year, and I'll be doing the rest of the USAC West Coast swing. I'll be doing some sprint car racing as well during that, doing some double duty. That'll be pretty cool. And with the sprint car. So, and then also I'll be doing the Charlotte winter heat deal with Joe Ryan. So that'll be fun to get on that track. You know, obviously it's going to be used a lot more with NASCAR, you know, had a few great shows at Charlotte. So that's all I can say right now for what I'm doing for the rest of the year. And what I'm doing next year can't be announced yet, but it'll be pretty cool, and hopefully we'll find out pretty soon.
Cool. Well, again, congratulations on that championship. That being said, we've got your Whelen Engineering short track spotlight coming up. We're going to highlight Evergreen Speedway here when we return on NASCAR Coast to Coast.
Whelen designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and high-powered warning systems for automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Every part of every Whelen product is proudly designed and manufactured in America and is tested on site to meet the toughest industry certifications. On the road, in the air, and around the world, Whelen is trusted to be seen, trusted to be heard, trusted to perform. Citywide to countryside. Whatever you drive, wherever you go, Hercules Tires has the value, selection, and industry-leading warranty to get you there, no matter where the road takes you. Go to HerculesTire.com. There you can find the nearest authorized Hercules retail location to you. Plus, you can use the tire tracker to find out which Hercules tire fits your vehicle the best. That's HerculesTire.com. Hercules Tires. Ride on our strength.
Back to NASCAR Coast to Coast, brought to you by Whelen and by Hercules Tires. Here are Hannah Newhouse and Kyle Rickey.
This week's Whelen Engineering Short Track Spotlight of the Week is Evergreen Speedway. It was originally an unpaved horse track, and in 1954, Jimmy Collier convinced the Snohomish County officials to allow him to convert the track for use to race his Ford Model T Roadster. The track was paved in the early 1960s, and in 1967, the original bleachers were demolished and a current grandstand was built. Through the years, the track has played host to a wide variety of racing events, including sprint cars, roadsters, midgets, figure eights, modifieds, hobby stocks, limited sportsmen, demolitions, Grand National, Winston West, NASCAR Northwest Tour, super stocks, mini stocks, and bombers. Evergreen Speedway also hosted the 500, which was the richest and the most prestigious race in the West. The NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series ran an event at Evergreen Speedway once per year from 1995 to year 2000. Today, Evergreen Speedway hosts a number of local events as well as regional racing series. The NASCAR Advanced Auto Parts Series runs on a weekly basis, and some of the classes that can currently be seen are the Chevrolet Super Late Models, Street Stocks, Mini Stocks, Super Figure Eights, School Bus Races, Crash Cars, Demolition Derbies, Drifting, Autocross, and Drag Racing. High Road Promotions won the Snohomish County bid to operate Evergreen Speedway until 2036. The 25-year contract beginning in March of 2011 ensures that NASCAR will remain in the state of Washington. Again, that is Evergreen Speedway, your Whelen Engineering Short Track Spotlight of the Week.
Whelen designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and high-powered warning systems for automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Every part of every Whelen product is proudly designed and manufactured in America and is tested on site to meet the toughest industry certifications. On the road, in the air, and around the world, Whelen is trusted to be seen, trusted to be heard, trusted to perform. Citywide to countryside. Whatever you drive, wherever you go, Hercules Tires has the value, selection, and industry-leading warranty to get you there, no matter where the road takes you. Go to HerculesTire.com. There you can find the nearest authorized Hercules retail location to you. Plus, you can use the tire tracker to find out which Hercules tire fits your vehicle the best. That's HerculesTire.com. Hercules Tires. Ride on our strength.
Back to NASCAR Coast to Coast, brought to you by Whelen and by Hercules Tires. Here are Hannah Newhouse and Kyle Rickey.
Well, Kyle, before we throw the checkered flag here on NASCAR Coast to Coast for 2020 again, we want to send a big thank you and hats off to all of the NASCAR officials, not only in NASCAR's, you know, National Touring Series, but all of the officials, the tracks, the promoters, the drivers, everyone across the country and across the seas as well, you know, in the world of motorsports that somehow made racing happen, whether that was touring with the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour, changing tracks per the weekend, being able to race out on the West Coast, north of the border, again, across the country. We still got our NASCAR Euro Series friends waiting to crown a champion there, but there was a lot of challenges that went into being able to do motorsports, to do really anything this year, but everyone pulled together for their love of motorsports and racing as a whole, and we were able to get it done, Kyle.
Oh my God, poor Jimmy Wilson and poor Chris Wright, you know, dealing with tracks, able to run races 1 week and not being able to run races the next week, or being able to run races with 25% capacity of fans to 50 or none. I mean, it changed all the time. And that's the great part about our sport and the people in it that you just mentioned, is we adapted. We all adapted. We got through it in March and April and May, got back on the racetrack in mid-May with the National Series, learned what we could and could not do before we jumped in with the short track stuff. And then, you know, the East and West opened back up in mid-June, and the modifieds, you know, about the same time. So, man, you got to feel for the tracks that couldn't open, like a Seekonk Speedway in Massachusetts up here, or for the most part, Riverhead Raceway on Long Island in New York. They're going to get an event in this weekend. I don't think anybody can go, but they're going to run the Islip 300. But I think because of New York precautions and restrictions that they're not allowed to have fans, but they're still going to host the event. So hopefully 2021's better. I think we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel with some of the news that I've heard over the last few days. So fingers crossed that by the time we get to next spring and a lot of these short tracks, you know, look to open their gate to start 2021, that what we're dealing with now is for the most part behind us. It won't be completely behind us for a while, but for the most part, hopefully we can open up and get back to what we knew in 2019.
And that's another thing too. We want to send a big thank you to all the fans that when they were able to attend at the racetrack, they supported those short tracks, those drivers, because that kept the doors open for a lot of them, or even a lot of the tracks that, you know, resorted to streaming platforms. We saw it, Stafford, you know, Motor Speedway has Stafford TV, and we're seeing a lot of tracks adopt that and even supporting them through NASCAR Coast to Coast here. You know, that allows us to continue talking about this racing, which in turn is exposure. So we look forward to seeing fans at the racetrack, hopefully next year. We've missed them. I've missed the look and the sound of full grandstands, whether it's a short track or NASCAR races. And then again, Kyle, we can't do this without, you know, Hercules and Whelen Engineering. They allow us to talk short track racing each and every week and highlight people that are basically the next things in NASCAR.
Yeah, some great sponsors, some great supporters that have been with us now for a couple of years here on NASCAR Coast to Coast. And we couldn't have done it without them. Want to thank the champions one final time and congratulate them. Brett Holmes in the ARCA Menard Series. Sam Mayer again in the ARCA East. We just heard from Jesse Love in the ARCA West. Justin Bonsignor, his second NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour Championship. And Advanced Auto Parts Weekly Series, Division One. Josh Berry picking up the championship there. So, yeah, congratulations to everybody that got on the racetrack this year and was just able to get to the racetrack and enjoy a night at the races, even though for most facilities, probably all facilities, was at least a shortened season.
Yeah, and the last thank you here, but last but not least, of course, to our producer here, Craig, who puts up with you and I each and every week. He's got the toughest job probably here at MRN because he has to deal with you every week.
It's aging him quick.
Yeah.
Well, aging me quick.
Well, again, we hope everyone enjoys their off season. It'll be here before you know it. We'll be back racing once again in Daytona or at short tracks. They never really stop here across the country between Florida, California, and you heard Jesse say it, he's going racing out on the West Coast with some dirt racing. So we'll probably find our way to dirt track or a racetrack between now and then. But again, Kyle, looking forward to hopefully bringing everyone more short track racing next season and the dynamic duo, right?
That's right. 3 years in a row, and hopefully we get at least number four next year.
Awesome. Well, hopefully everyone has a safe and enjoyable holidays. We'll talk to you guys in 2021. For NASCAR Coast to Coast, I'm Hannah Newhouse and Kyle Ricci, signing off for 2020.
You've been listening to NASCAR Coast to Coast, presented by Whelen, also brought to you by Hercules Tires. NASCAR Coast to Coast is a production of the Motor Racing Network. All rights reserved.